welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny, slave South Pacific, where everybody by government mandate has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb and a Monsanto Roundup spraying on your kid's breakfast cereal employee. My very special guest today, not sure if he's the ultimate whistleblower and uber patriot and what have you, the kind of person we normally have on this show. His name is Rick from Soldiers for Peace for International. Rick, welcome to the program. Rick, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
You're not coming through on my speaker.
You can't hear me, you mean? Or is it just a little bit distorted? Yeah, I don't think Rick can quite hear me. So we'll just be attempting to sort out these little problems in the background. I can hear you, Rick. And hopefully you'll be able to adjust those audio settings a little bit so you can hear me. Sorry about the technical difficulties here, folks, because we only just got Rick on at the very last minute. Quite literally, I got suggested him by a Facebook friend this morning, Tania, and she just said, you know, get Rick on, and here he is. About a half an hour later after the very first suggestion. So that's kind of what I do. Rick, it seems that you can hear me now. All right. Can you speak up? It's not quite coming through. I can hear something on your side.
Maybe if I put my headphones on right.
You know, putting your headphones on right is usually a good idea. Ooh. Oh wow, it's very, very bad. There's kind of like this 2001 Space Odyssey Stargate type sound coming in, like woo, you know. Oh, we've just had Rick drop off. Let's just do him with audio early. Rick, you know, it's a very, very bad connection. So what we're going to do, Rick, if you can, just call in to the board number, and we'll see if we can get here. The number is, it's sounding very Cybertronian there, like some ancient mechanical race has just landed in your living room and is kind of messing up the connection. So the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll just crack open the caller lines so you can actually get in there. And also, Rick, if you can just hear me at the moment, just pop your phone number into the Skype chat here, and we'll give you a ring unless you manage to call us first. We're just getting the conference line open as we speak. And old American Freedom Radio. Oh, technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. Live radio, it's the reason why it's most fun. Okay, so Rick, the caller lines are now open, so if you can give us a bell in, you've given us your number, so we'll give you a call up. That'll be fine. Okay. Now, over the weekend, David Wilcock came to New Zealand. Now, for the first time, a major activist has come to New Zealand. I wasn't even aware of it until, like, the day before, and I really wanted to go, and what's his name? Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine and the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine He thought he was supposed to be getting a free ticket because he gave them some advertising in his magazine. Nah, no free ticket. So I turned up there expecting a free ticket. It turns out I had to pay for it. And it was pretty expensive too, man, like $130 New Zealand dollars, about 97 Australian or something like that. Thank God for the difference in our economies and our banks to really determine our cash flow prices and what have you. But the other thing is, in fact, we've still got Rick there on Skype. AFR, can you please just give him a ring on his landline number there and bring him up that way and just send me a message and let me know once we've got him on the call there. Now, what David Wilcock was talking about, so many different things, aliens and pyramids and energy and cell structures and atomic structure and all of these sort of things. Basically, he was breaking down the universe to its very base points, breaking down how pyramids are used to basically, they're like, what was the thing you said? They're like acupuncture, okay? And the Chinese believe that acupuncture points, when you put something into them, like an acupuncture needle, it balances your chi. So what the Chinese believe, and there are lots and lots of pyramids in China, bear in mind, lots of massive ones too, they believe that pyramids actually balance the Earth's chi. And you'll notice that there's a much, much fewer incidences of earthquakes, much, much better weather, and various other benefits from just being around pyramids. Like for instance, they built this plastic pyramid. It has to be plastic. It can't be made out of metal, apparently. And we're still having some trouble getting Rick connected. So AFR, can you hear me? If you can hear me, please give him a ring, and we'll see if we can actually bring him on. Now, they've been around for a long time, pyramids and what have you, and basically what we're talking about here is structures that cannot be made, even with modern technology. Okay, it's not possible. It's simply not fracking possible. Okay, you can't do it. The stones are too heavy, they're too big, and everything. Okay, it's simply impossible. And anybody who tries to explain this, well, basically, they're pushing you-know-what uphill. Unlike the stones, which couldn't have been pushed uphill because it's too bloody heavy. I mean, even with the modern cranes, they're only able to lift 100 tons. And bare enough, you know, these rocks are like 200 tons each. You know, it's insane. Anyway, off from the magical mysteries, we seem to have Rick now. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vincent. Thanks for inviting me.
Gotcha. All right, we can hear you fine just now. So why don't you divulge and let myself and the listening audience know just all about who you are and what it is you do. And make sure, and this plug's kind of like a bathtub, this show's kind of like a bathtub as well. It doesn't work without a plug, so make sure you plug your website and any products you got for sale or anything like that. So go for your life.
Okay, great. Well, actually, I'm not selling anything, but the idea that we can end war by forming an international united front against fascism and war. And so I started something called Soldiers for Peace International in 1990, before we had all this great technology, and I sort of revived it in the middle of the Iraq War when I realized that the U.S. government was so controlled by corporations that, well, we're all headed to hell in a handbasket if we don't work together to end it. And so I started an organization, if you want to call it that, called Soldiers for Peace International. It was initially just a bunch of veterans who got together and made a pact that we were going to spread the word that we can end war together. We got a website, and now we have our own internet radio show, SFPI Radio. Have a blog, obviously. We have a Facebook group where we continue the conversation when we're not on the internet radio. So I invite anybody to join us at Soldiers for Peace International on Facebook. Listen to our show at 8 a.m. Pacific, which right now. I'm not sure what time that is in Auckland, but you can figure out the time difference. And it's also available by podcast just by going to the website of soldiersforpeaceinternational.org. And that doesn't really answer your question of who I am, but I'm just an ordinary guy with an idea, I guess.
Well, I find most of the people in the truth movement or anybody that really tries to become an activist or do the right thing with their life sort of thing is an ordinary person. So the fact that people keep calling themselves ordinary people when they're obviously extraordinary makes me wonder if being ordinary is extraordinary in and of itself.
Well, I think anybody can be extraordinary once they open up their mind to the possibilities of a different world than the one that our children are bound to inherit if we don't do this, if we don't get together and create what I call the tectonic paradigm shift in human consciousness, where it will just be implicitly understood that all of us are interdependent on each other and our individual and collective destinies depend on our recognizing that interdependence and working together.
Yeah, yeah. And with the with the world as it is nowadays, we don't see people being encouraged to work together by mainstream establishments, and we don't see people being encouraged to be independent either. And what I find is those are the two things that make humans powerful, is cooperation and independence. And and today, we're being divided and conquered, you know, just here's this difference between you, there's this difference between me, and let's make the differences all our relationship is based on, whereas I say, come together on the points you agree, and leave the rest to them. You're not going to accomplish much.
Absolutely. That's not a new phenomenon. It's always been the way to divide and conquer, but the thing that most people don't stop and think about is that we do this to ourselves. The corporate media, the governments, they can encourage us to be angry at each other, but it's still a choice. And as long as we choose to identify ourselves as Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Americans, New Zealanders, or you have it, we're ignoring the fact that we're all human beings first. We're citizens of a planet Earth, and we better start acting like it, or we're going to lose it. We're going to lose human civilization.
Mm-hmm. And in some cases, I fear that might be quite literal. I watched a video over the weekend about this guy who's doing the math, okay, about human population growth. And it's like it gets to the point where in every 10 years or so, the human population doubles. So you can imagine just in a few decades, we'll have 30 billion people on this planet. And we simply do not have the resources, the technology, or the houses, or anything like that, in order to feed and clothe those kind of people. I mean, it's just too mecca, right? Or at least this is what this guy was talking about.
What he didn't say,
and what he didn't take into account, was the fact that fertility rates are basically near zero. And the population in the Western world isn't growing. It's actually shrinking. And the only reason why Western nations are actually having any population increase at all is because of people coming in and immigrating from other countries. Other than that, I think the human race is about to become extinct simply because it's not breeding enough.
Well, I don't think there's any danger of that. As long as the United States and its client, well, the United States, England, and their client countries continue to subjugate the poor, we're going to continue to use starvation and warfare and disease as our principal means of population control. I think that the people who really pull the strings at an international level realize that now, and they're making it a deliberate policy. Again, it's using division to conquer us, but what people in America in particular don't understand is that if we let this persist, we're going to be the next victim. So there will be nobody left to stand up for us, and it's already happening in the United States. So people are waking up.
Yeah, they really are. And what I find interesting is that the whole concept of there's too many people, there's too many people, it just smacks to me of just eugenics, and I don't like people, and I'm genetically superior, so I don't want people. So ergo, I'm going to tell everybody and convince everybody and repeat it over and over again through the media that there's too many people, and justify right. in everybody's That's mind right. all this population reduction measures.
Yeah, and you know something, it's actually a lie. The population is increasing, the population of the world, but as you mentioned, in developed countries, the rate actually goes down. People make choices. In a lot of countries, they don't have those choices, and they still depend on children to take care of them because the government has no social safety net, and because so many children die. Actually, in National Geographic, when the population hit 7 billion a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, they published the statistics. And as you say, they showed that the population is declining in the Western world, and it's really migration from other countries that's maintaining the population.
Well, we're coming to break now, Rick. So just hold on there. We'll be back in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there. And well, back in just a few minutes. Don't you go change. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you will go friggin' nuts. And frankly, in this movement, the truth movement and all stuff like that, a lot of the people, some of them get a bit too serious, take themselves too seriously, take life too seriously, then they become pretty bloody toxic and they don't wind up accomplishing much in the truth movement at all, because all they do is go around calling everybody else disinfo, he's an agent, he's disinfo. It's like a truth or cliche. You know, you can say virtually anything. Truth or cliche always comes up. It's disinfo. Well, at least I think so anyway. I think it's quite funny. All right, my very special guest is Rick. I've forgotten your last name, Rick.
Stagenborg.
Stagenborg. Where does that come from?
Well, it comes from Germany.
It sounds like some kind of a really pure 7% alcohol Dutch beer.
Well, I own the rights to the name.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
If they want to use it, they're going to have to pay.
Register it with the Alcohol Patent Office or something.
Well, the Chinese will no doubt steal it anyway, so I guess no point in that.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then you won. I'm sorry. This show's the place for really crap puns that come out. Okay, and we want to talk about something important. So just tell us a little bit about your website and how you actually kind of woke up to this whole system. I mean, in some cases, people will either have a particular incident, like they'll be shafted by the police. In my case, that was how it was for me. In other people's cases, they'll be up in the corporate world or something like that, and they'll see things going down and kind of get out of it and start life over again. But I'd like to hear your story, because everybody's got one, Rick.
Sure, that's a really good question. Nobody's ever asked me before. Actually, at the website, there's a description of how we got started, how I got involved with this, and where I got the idea. It was back during the Persian Gulf War, and it was such an obvious setup that I looked at what was happening, and it just blew my mind that the American people could be fooled so easily into going to war again so soon after Vietnam. I was actually just out of the Army myself. I was naive enough to think that the days of war for corporate empire were over. Little did I know. So I guess that's where I first had my awakening. But I was shocked so badly. I was really rocked to my core, and it agitated me so bad that I actually became manic. And it took me quite some time to recover from that. And by the time I did, I'd covered up a lot of things that I remember from the experience that really, I look back now and realize it was an awakening. And so I got back involved again. And the thing that caused me to get involved was when the U.S. Congress started debating what they called health care reform. And I know, of course, that a universal single-payer health care system is the only way that any country can ever get it. And what I saw happening was such blatant corruption and manipulation by the corporate media of both parties that that's when it really clicked, that the American government has been taken over by corporations, and they no longer represent the American people whatsoever. So that's when I got heavily involved in politics. I quit my job. I was a VA psychiatrist. And I decided to run for the U.S. Senate on a platform based on the idea that I would promote a constitutional amendment that would get special interest money out of elections. And I'm still working on that. I started a nonprofit called Take Back America for the People, and that is our major effort. And I write about the Pledge to Amend campaign on the website of Soldiers for Peace International, soldiersforpeaceinternational.org. But you can just Google the name. So that's really where it's at. I think that the only way that we're going to get special interest money out of politics is to make it a campaign issue. And so I'm reaching out across the country to various people who are running for the U.S. Congress and inviting them to make a pledge to support an amendment that will explicitly ban corporate money, union money from electoral politics. And I think once enough people realize that that's the only issue that really matters, otherwise we're not going to accomplish anything else. But we're going to get conservative and liberal support for the idea, and we are going to pass that amendment, and the corporations won't be able to buy our members of Congress and our president anymore.
My biggest concern is the giant anonymous donations. I think they're called super PACs or something like that. It's basically a billionaire, like the Koch brothers, or however you pronounce it. I choose to pronounce it Koch because it seems fitting. They just pop in like $20-60 million, and all of a sudden some a-hole who's a total globalist at heart lies all the time, has no concern whatsoever for how the public really feels or really does, and just cynically sits there manipulating them or whatever, has this huge boost that's like 10 times bigger than any other honest candidate could ever have, saturates the airwaves, and all of a sudden people go, huh? Who's Ron Paul?
Well put. Yeah, the thing about Citizens United, that was the Supreme Court decision that said that Congress cannot place any limits on how much money corporations spend and rich individuals spend to support or oppose a given candidate. The significance of that was not that they removed the barriers. Yes, it did make elections become even more insanely expensive. But the biggest significance is that it awoke the American public, at least briefly, awoke them from their stupor. And when they took a poll right after the Citizens United decision, 80% of Americans were opposed to it, and it didn't matter whether they were considered themselves liberal or conservative. Now, there's an issue that we can start a revolution around. It is so simple to explain why our Congress doesn't work, why our president serves foreign interests. It is so simple to explain that you can explain it to a Tea Party supporter in 30 seconds.
And you know what's funny is that the Tea Party was originally a Ron Paul and Restore the Republic and End the Fed type organization. And then you know what's funny, Rick, is every single time we, the people, get somewhere and we actually start to organize something big, the establishment looks at it and goes, ooh, we better co-opt it. And sure enough, they did.
Absolutely. Well, Well, that's the significance of the Occupy movement, is they were fully aware of that, and they will not be co-opted. People will have to choose what they want to work on, because the movement doesn't stand for anything in particular other than justice. But I'm trying to encourage people in Occupy around the world to support the idea of working for democracy in America by publicizing the need for a constitutional amendment. I mean, America is only one of the countries that needs constitutional change. That's the big issue in Egypt also. It's a big issue in Pakistan. It's an issue in most of the countries that are critical to world peace.
It's a big issue here in New Zealand as well. I mean, most New Zealanders are unaware that we even have a constitution, when in fact we do. It's just not used, and virtually nobody knows about it. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. Well, ours isn't used very often either, except as an excuse for the Supreme Court to pervert its meaning and give more power to corporations.
I love it how they just wave something in front of you that you agree with, and it's kind of like a curtain that they're waving in front of you, and behind that curtain there's all this BS that they're shilling out and shoveling over everybody, and it's conveniently disguised because they're wrapping themselves in the flag. When if anything, the U.S. Congress is now, in my opinion anyway, a Nazi government, and it is quite literally a Nazi government. I mean, and if you don't believe me, ladies and gentlemen, have a look at the House of Congress. All right, what's on either side of the Speaker of the House? You know that big podium that everybody gets up on and delivers State of the Nation's addresses and what have you? What's on either side of that? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's two double-headed axes that are wrapped in reeds, which is called a fasci, which is the symbol of what? Fascism. It's right there. It's right there in front of your face.
Well, that is an astute observation, and I don't like using the term Nazi partly because it turns people off, and partly because Americans are not ready to accept the fact that we do have a fascist government. For one thing, they're confused by the common definition of fascism that says it's led by a dictator. Well, you don't need a dictator to be a fascist nation when the people willingly turn over the government to international corporate terrorists. And that's what we did during the Reagan era.
Well, that's what fascism actually is, government and corporations working together so that eventually the government contracts out all of its work to private companies, and those private companies wind up owning and being the government departments. Once that happens, once it's reached its crux and the state has withered away to virtually nothing, then it becomes a full-blown fascist state when nobody has any rights anymore, and they, instead of being citizens of a country, become partners in the corporation.
Yeah, I would define it a little differently. I think that this is new in history, this privatization push. What you're describing is more like feudalism, and I think that might be a better description than fascism. But we're in a transitional stage for sure, and the United States government and society has acquired most of the characteristics of fascism by any definition. The marriage of corporation and state, the use of war to unify the population around nationalistic sentiments, and the restriction on civil liberties and the force that the government used to suppress dissent. All those are characteristics of a fascist government. All are present in the United States, and the situation is getting worse by the week.
It really is, and this is the reason why people need to be active now more than ever, I think, is a turning point in history that we can literally point a finger at and go, you know what? This might just be the most important time in human existence. Like, for the first time ever, we can actually see what's been ruling us all this time. We can see its mechanisms. And we are now capable of recognizing what truth is, what loyalty is, what patriotism is, whereas previously they'd just been concepts that weren't actually attached to anything real. Now they are. And this whole system, I think, is very, very afraid of us, Rick.
Well, that's the idea.
just to give you an idea of some of the things I had in mind with Soldiers for Peace International, before we were even recognized as, we're not an organization, by the way, we're a network. We're an asymmetrical network, anarchical, no leadership. And it's very hard to harm a network, because if there are no leaders, who do you attack? The bigger we grow and the faster we grow, the harder it will be for them to organize against us. And in the end, it will be ridiculous for them to even try, because we are 99 to their one, at least. And if they can't conscript or hire a mercenary army to fight us, then they have no chance against us. It's our government, if this is really a democracy. People on the left and right are both screaming that it's not working for them. So if we stop screaming at each other and fight together nonviolently, we can take over the U.S. government and establish a government of, by, and for the people. Since we have the most powerful military on the earth, if we tell it to stand down and maybe even help other countries rather than subjugating them for corporate empire, I think it would be short work to fix the most pressing problems of the world, including the environmental catastrophe that's beginning right now. It's all about people working together, and we're doing it on the grassroots level, and I'm really excited that the word has spread to us, to New Zealand, and that I'm being given this opportunity to talk to your audience.
Yeah. Well, I've just started to realize just recently that basically, I can talk about any of the issues in New Zealand, any of the issues in the States, and they're automatically applicable everywhere. And that's why the New World Order system is such an obvious overarching system, because you see the same problems, the exact same problems, the exact same people, organizations, exact same legislation, you know, word for word, being passed all over the globe.
Well, people say that the Bilderbergs sit around and planned our future for us. I just saw a video recently of one of the Rothschilds saying, well, if you're accusing us of trying to plan a rational future that's ordered and stable, I stand guilty as accused. But their idea of stability is maintaining their own privilege and the position where they can rape the resources of the world and enslave all of it. And to them, that's stability. And no wonder they like it, because they're the ones that benefit. But the people stand for it in the end. Everybody, it's an innate human tendency to want freedom. People will die for it.
Well, Rick, we're coming to break now. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Don't you go anywhere. Back in a few ticks.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations and let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite.
Satellite network. Somehow beaming into your pineal gland with all the colors of the rainbow, like you're tripping balls on sulfuric acid. Oh, yeah. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. My very special guest is still with me here, and hopefully next hour we'll also be joined by two Kiwi activists who are going to come on with us, Rick, Megan Manuka and Evelyn Gilbert, if they're keen to give us a little bit of a Kiwi perspective on the Bilderberg meeting just recently. And this has been big news over the weekend. Rick, have you been keeping watch on the whole Bilderberg developments?
Not in detail, no. I know they just recently met, and there were a lot of people outside the gates. I believe they're meeting in the United States this year, as I recall.
And I doubt that they have anything new. These guys have a limited bag of tricks. They're just, they come out in different guises, but it's the same bag of tricks, and it's all based on divide and conquer and restrict our civil rights, and it's not going to work. So I don't pay that close of attention to it. I don't think they're going to come up with anything that's going to surprise us.
Well, yeah, I've got a saying, always shocked, never surprised.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. You're completely right, eh? It's same old, same old. You know, it's like a SSDD. You know what that means? Same scumbaggery, different decade. And this particular type of scumbaggery I find is one of the most insidious kinds because, well, basically, they try and keep it secret. They have these code names and code words and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, the Bilderberg Conference was booked under this year at the hotel in Chantilly? It was booked under the Palm Tree Conference.
No, that I didn't know.
which I find is pretty amusing because... they've got lots of fronds there, and they're all really big nuts. apparently in Thailand, you're something like 8 times more likely to be killed by a falling coconut while you're sitting underneath the tree than you are from a proper shark attack. So I think it's very fitting. These people are kind of like...
Never let it be said that fascists don't have a sense of humor.
They really don't. I mean, it's kind of like maybe they have a sense of humor, but they don't laugh at things that are funny. They laugh at things that are horrific, and they enjoy doing it to other people, kind of thing. Like, I don't know. You ever seen those videos of those US troops or even British troops now and now? It's kind of like talking with demon voices, like, yeah, I'm gonna beat that boy. Yeah, it's just like, whoa, everybody's sort of starting to get a bit demonic when it comes to combat and world events these days. And frankly, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned that these people don't just have a physical agenda to like control the world or attack us or anything like that, but they also have some kind of a real dark, nasty spiritual agenda too that's far, far more seedy and horrific to think about.
I think it's more psychological than spiritual. These people have no awareness of spirituality. It's a strange concept to them, just like the idea of empathy. I did internet radio show on SFBI Radio on psychopaths in society, and we explored that in depth. My position is you cannot have empathy if you haven't suffered, because what it is it's relating to other people suffering from your own experience. So my cure for psychopathy is to cause them real suffering, and that means to take away their toys, take away their wealth and power. And then they'll know the kind of suffering that will make them develop empathy or just feel sorry for themselves. And I really, frankly, don't care either way. We have to do it.
I think you're right. And I think some of the most important choices you make in your life occur when you realize that you don't have a choice. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I have the choice to go and fight the New World Order to expose the lies in the media so that we can, well, basically not wind up getting killed at some point. And that's basically what it's about for me, Rick, is that I know that these people are psychopathic. I know that they're eugenicists. I know that they have a depopulation agenda. And I like living, you know. It's quite awesome. I think being alive, that whole thing about breathing, having a heartbeat, you know, yeah. So I don't see it as much of a choice. You really do have to go after these people and expose them and do everything. I mean, regardless of whether or not we know exactly 100% of what their agenda is, you just have a look at their track record, and there ain't a single good thing in a Bilderberg attendee's track record that you could point to and go, oh, this person's humanitarian, they love it. Oh, no, actually, they're just sending a whole bunch of toxic vaccines to Africa. That's their charity.
Right. And also, those are patented vaccines, because obviously someone has to make some money off the deal, or why would the government be interested?
Yeah. And when we look at organization globally and the Bilderberg attendees and usually the lists of minutes and stuff that they get out from Daniel Estulin and people from the inside every year, well, basically it's just a who's who of the top brass of the world's controlling elite. Basically, you know, top CEOs of major media corporations or agribusiness and the Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands who owns Dutch Royal Shell and representatives from BP and all those big ones, basically. And so you look at these people and they're all meeting. Okay, how much of this is in the mainstream media? Zippo. You know, you'd figure if 120 of the world's most powerful CEOs and royals and all of that kind of stuff meet, that there'd be some kind of a hubbub about it. But what's everybody reporting on instead? Oh yeah, that's right, the Queen's Jubilee. In America, there's one dude walking around in New York wearing one of those British soldier uniforms, you know, with the big fluffy bearskin hat and all of that kind of stuff. That's what the media in New Zealand is reporting on, that one dude walking around in New York, as opposed to the hundreds of people that are outside Bilderberg saying death to the New World Order and we won't succumb to your tyranny. It's just, come on. I think we now know, don't we, that the media is in no way useful to us anymore.
Yeah, I think that probably it's similar in New Zealand to what's going on in the United States, where the media is basically functioning as stenographers for the politicians, who themselves are puppets of these international corporate terrorists. So it's not surprising to me that when the Bilderbergs say that they don't want any press, that the press dutifully obeys.
Yeah. And of course, there's even David Rockefeller quoting in the, what's it called, Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you very much to the Washington Post and New York Times and other prestigious publications for keeping our plans for the world secret during all this time, because I'm sure we would not have been able to develop our plans for the world had we been exposed to the bright lights of publicity. Well, God damn it! I'm a bright light of publicity right here, Rockefeller! And I'm going to shine it right on you, and you're going to skitter away like a fracking cockroach, aren't you? I hate these people. They're scum. And have you noticed how it's almost an appropriate response to get angry when somebody's a brutal, ruthless psychopath who you know wants to kind of hurt you and destroy everything that makes your country great? You know, I think it's virtually the most appropriate reaction in the world is to go friggin' nuts.
Well, it's probably the most common reaction when people first wake up to this. But once you come to accept it, that this is the way people are, and it's the natural result of unregulated capitalism, it's just a matter of getting down to business. I mean, let's face it, if you get too angry, if you dwell on the anger, what you're going to do is you're going to provoke anger in other people, and that's the last thing you want. You want determination to fight the New World Order, and to do that, you have to give people a sense of confidence. I am absolutely confident that we will prevail, and I believe that we can crush the corporatocracy in my lifetime. That's one of the main reasons that I can stay calm in the face of horrors that are unimaginable. Millions of people are going to die before we win, possibly billions, and the difference is, can we put aside our anger and reach out to other people in a spirit of concern and a desire for our mutual well-being? Can we do that? And can we end up, in the end, when we win, can we be forgiving of the people that tried to enslave us? Because if we aren't, the revolution is not going to be successful. If we leave some people out of the New World Order that we intend to create, the situation will recreate itself. We all have to be equal. That's the basis of democracy. So
exactly. If we go radical, about it, It's true, though. I mean, if we go about it all angry and murderous, what kind of a different system are we going to come up with? We're just going to have the same thing repeated over again, aren't we?
Right, and there's a lot of people that want to punish the traitors, for instance, in the U.S. government, who sold us out to international corporate terrorists. And I say, well, it's natural that they...
Hold on, Rick. Hold on, Rick.
Sure.
We've got one more hour with you, ladies and gentlemen. We're also going to be joined by two lovely ladies from New Zealand, Megan Manuka and Evelyn Gilbert, for a panel discussion with us, Rick. So this will be nice and interesting. We're talking about Bilderberg and the New World Order and how important it is to maintain your sanity amidst such scumbaggery, because I think it's if you lose your mind, you lose your effectiveness, because you're incapable of seeing the situations for how they really are, and instead your mind magnifies the terror and the horror and starts to absorb it, and you wind up going just as nuts as the people who have come up with this agenda in the first place. We'll be back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Alert the masses!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, New Zealand's number one truther talk radio show, which means we're incredibly small and insignificant by comparison to any number one American talk radio show or any show anywhere, because we've only got like 4 million people. But conveniently, we talk about all the same stuff that's completely screwing everybody over, so everybody can listen in and feel at home. Like my very special guests, we've got Evelyn Gilbert and Megan Manuka joining us from New Zealand. And, of course, we still have Rick Stagenborg in the United States from soldiersforpeaceinternational.org. So what we wanted to do is get into the Bilderberg conference first of all. Evelyn, you've been following this.
What I have been following over the last 4 days, of course, is a lot of the information that came through Alex Jones' show, and with reporters as Luke Rudofsky from We Are Changed in the United States. But what is really, really important for New Zealand today is that the list that has just come out of the attendees of the 2012 Bilderberg meeting had amongst them Prime Minister Harper of Canada. And John Key, who has just signed a agreement with NATO for us to become partners with NATO, which is another devastating blow to New Zealand's independence, has just is going to have dinner tomorrow with Prime Minister Harper and another known Bilderberger called Cameron, Prime Minister Cameron from the United Kingdom.
Well, isn't that a lovely coincidence? And where is John Key? Where was John Key this weekend?
He was not at Bilderberg. He was in London and in Brussels, where he was meeting with the head of NATO. We know this because they just signed. I'm sorry about this feedback, by the way. He was meeting with, amongst others, the unelected president of the European Council government. He was meeting with the head of NATO, signing our independence away. I'm sure that he will catch up what was happening at Bilderberg when he speaks with Harper and Cameron.
Megan, I think that's actually your speaker, so can you turn those down just a little bit? I think that's the cause of the feedback. We seem to have solved Evelyn's over the break, and now it's just a little bit, because you're on speakerphone, aren't you, Megan?
Yep. Is that better?
Yeah. A little bit. Maybe turn it down a bit more so you can only just barely hear us. So that should work out fine. All right, cool. Sorry, Evelyn, continue.
Well, that's the most recent news that has just come out this morning that I can.
Okay, now can I ask you a question? Just a geographical question. Is New Zealand any fracking where near the North Atlantic?
Exactly.
So why do we need to be part of bloody NATO? You've got to be kidding me.
Well, what is so scary is that we didn't know about this beforehand. It's never been discussed. The terms of agreement have not been discussed, and with the pending attacks on Syria and Iran, we might very well be involved in illegal wars of aggression that we didn't ask to be involved in.
You betcha.
That's not cool.
That's not cool at all. Rick, what do you make of this? Do you think New Zealand in the South Pacific should be part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization?
I definitely do not approve of us being involved in an externally instigated war. It's got nothing to do with us at all.
Yeah, Rick, what's your take on this?
New Zealanders need to stand up now while they can. I don't know if you're familiar with the Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement, which is being negotiated in secret.
Oh, you bet.
Well, here in the United States, most people are still not really clued into that. And that, of course, maybe your people there are much more aware that it's going to be yet another step in transnational corporations superseding governments on an official basis rather than an unofficial basis that they do by buying politicians in the United States and elsewhere.
I think what these partnership deals are about is about destroying any form of independence, all right, and to promote interdependence, all right? So what interdependence does is it essentially leads you into dependence. And once we're completely dependent, we'll have all these companies that have the backing of the world court and the world government and all that kind of stuff. So if they do anything that's nasty to us and we go, hey, look, I'm sorry, you guys are dumping huge amounts of toxic waste in our pristine rivers. It's not cool. You can't do business here anymore. They'll go to the world court like a petulant child and go, Daddy, they say that we can't dump our toxic waste all over their pristine bushland. Take them to court, Daddy. And every single time, Daddy will stand up for them. Because nobody other than major evil corporations win any cases in the bloody world court. That's the whole reason for it.
Well, it's actually a little worse than that. Before that, a nation had to sue a nation in the World Trade Court. Under the terms of Trans-Pacific, a corporation can sue a nation. That's the biggest significance of it.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I think the only nation that we should have involved on this, on these bits of paper of Trans-Pacific Partnership, is my urination. I piss all over that kind of crap because it... No, don't laugh. I'm very serious. And this is the thing. These people fart out this stuff, and I think we should just piss on it and flush it. I mean, that's basically the best thing. I mean, I can think of some very nasty-smelling smudges that would be much more appropriate to be added to this paper than people's signatures, okay?
Isn't it funny the amount of power that a piece of paper gives these people? You know, they get to write all of the stuff on a piece of paper and all of a sudden they have power over the whole world because they've written something on a piece of paper. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't think it is like that, Megan. I think that these people, they think that other people will accept that these pieces of paper have power, but you'll find out that if people simply don't accept it, it has zero power. Its only power is our compliance.
That is true. That's why I don't comply.
Yeah. And
well, to add insult to injury, of course, what is happening in Europe is of course the total collapse of the financial system, and which of course makes this very small group of people extremely worried. And extremely dangerous, because the only way they can keep that system even remotely going is by starting more wars. At this moment, news comes out of Greece that people in prisons are literally starving because there's no more money to feed these people. They're worried that the electrical grid will collapse because there is no more money to keep that going. Which means there is no more fresh water. I mean, we're looking at a real whole-scale collapse, which is now starting in Greece, but which will go towards Spain, which is going to happen in Italy, which is going to just absolutely hideous.
Well, see, this is what I'm talking about. It's the trickle down effect, isn't it? Except, you know, what they're doing is it's not a trickle down like, oh, you pour the cash flow into a sieve and then it starts to trickle down on you. It's more like you're just pissing on an electrical box and making it short out and frack everything up to no end so that it's unfixable. Okay, like you don't throw water on an electrical fire, nor do you pour cash flow over a burning financial institution. It's just stupid because it's all going to go up in smoke and it won't work. And that's the idea. And these people starving in the prisons and things of that nature, you wonder to yourself, the worst people are treated, okay, it doesn't matter how bad they are, okay, and this is my approach to arresting the banksters and the New World Order and everything like that. They need to be well-fed, sheltered, kept warm, and they need to be taken care of and given basic human needs and basic human respect. You know, I don't, even though the banksters have done such evil things and whatever and caused immense amounts of suffering, if we try and turn the tables around on them, we're going to wind up being the ones that we hate, that we wish we would have fought against in the future for our children, right? And if you have a country like Greece, basically the birthplace of democracy and everything like that, and they're like, oh, well, here's the Acropolis, here's our public services and everything, just take them, IMF bankers, just take them. Come on, Bank of International Settlements, get in on this little gravy, greasy train here right now. Let's sell the Acropolis, okay? Let's give our pieces of history and historical sites to a bunch of evil fracking banksters who destroyed our economy in the first place so that we can save our economy. It doesn't make any sense. Unless, of course, you're a brutal, sociopathic, financial terrorist. In which case, everything is making 100% sense right about now.
Yep, it is making 100% sense.
Yeah. Rick?
It's not inevitable that the scenario is going to go down like that. In Iceland, of course, they had a little revolution. They prosecuted the banksters. They turned over the government. And they renounced the debt. Now, Greece can't do that by themselves. Greece, Italy, and Spain can't do that by themselves. But if the entire European Union demands it, including Germans, who are relatively well off, then they would have a hard time punishing them all. The euro is going to fall, and people are going to suffer. But the repercussions are finally going to affect Americans bad enough where I believe that we will join the revolution en masse.
Now, do you think this year, 2012, is going to be the big year? Because it's been talking up by everybody, you know, regardless of whether or not it's a prophecy or anything like that. This year, I felt, was very important for me to get active. You know, like my New Year's resolution is 2012, time to stop fracking around. And sure enough, I've certainly stopped messing around, and I've been getting a lot more work done because I just feel that there's something about this year. This is when all the really, really big stuff is going to happen. This is the year that we lay the foundations for our future. This is the year that we build that yellow brick road to the Emerald City and find the person behind the curtain and throw them out.
It's absolutely inevitable that this is going... that this is going to happen this year. It is, you know, my estimate is between about 5 days and 6 months, to be honest. And I'm not alone in that.
In 6 months it's the election time in the US, and I'm very, very interested to see what's going to happen with this US election. I mean, it's obviously going to be between somebody getting their mittens Romney all over that presidential seat, like. Yeah, I don't know. He kind of reminds me of that. Have you ever seen Teletubbies? How they have that little vacuum cleaner that kind of walks around by himself, and he's always forever slurping stuff.
Yeah, his name's
Nunu. You know, that's kind of what a president seems to me. They just walk around on the floor randomly while everybody's going big hugs, just sucking up all the wealth. Come on.
talk about. Just can I just get another little tidbit in about John Key and about how he is just at this moment being sucking up to the big power players. He is also meeting with Merkel.
What's that?
Chancellor Merkel of Germany and their finance minister.
It's a Merkel!
And you may wonder what you may wonder, because of course Merkel is the face of the war that is being waged on all these countries. It's a financial war. I mean, they're getting their hands. Greece has already lost. They've given up their whole sovereignty to Germany.
Yeah, Greece is the word. It's got debts and derivatives, and they all do musicals at high school there as well. Now, When I'm thinking about the world where it's going, I think it's like you got to take care of your own backyard first, and then you got to think about the stuff outside. But at the same time, it's so confusing nowadays, don't you think, guys? Because there's much going on overseas that affects us here, and there's much going on here that affects those overseas. So I'm starting to see that the globalists have already achieved their goal of a world government and a world citizenry, except it's the opposite to what they wanted. They've achieved a world where the entire world becomes aware of the global agenda, and they all get aware of it at the same time. And because it's replicated and it's the same in each country where it is, it's so easy for people in other nations to wake up their neighbours, to wake up those who are overseas, and that kind of thing. Because, well, especially for us in the Western world that speak English as well, because we have many talented people and researchers and bloggers all over the place to dispense this kind of information to a wide audience of what? How many major countries are there that speak English as their first language? About a half a dozen, nearly a billion people that we've got to draw from as an audience. And it seems... I'm not sure what kind of word I can use to describe it. Maybe inevitable is the word. It's inevitable that the media will eventually lose their hold, lock, stock, and barrel. And as things keep going forward, they keep going faster and faster, like water sinking around the drain. And these media, these corporations, these banks, they're all getting sucked down it. And we're the ones who are standing outside the bath watching all this toxic, dirty, slushy water that we've been bathing in all our lives disappear. But where's it going to disappear to? What kind of filtration system is under there? Where do these pipes lead, you know? I'm just wondering, even if we can overthrow them, what do we do with them once we have?
You know, my blog at this moment attracts about 10,000 new readers every month. And half of those are, believe it or not, New Zealanders. And I don't know when it started, just before the election, but it's like all of a sudden people by their droves. I mean, 50 to 100 new New Zealanders visit my blog every day. Unique visitors. And so what you're saying is absolutely true. It's and people point out things, and people are making connections. And whether you couldn't name Bilderberg here a year ago without having people laugh at you, if they even knew the name, now people are beginning to really get it and get how small the elite really is. And I personally am opposed to violence, which is I'm opposed to violence. But
right. Well, we'll be right back after the break. We've got Evelyn Gilbert, Megan Manuka, and Rick Stuggenborg from SoldiersForPeaceInternational.org. We'll be right back.
I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you rather stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading.
Welcome back.
Alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about acting up and disturbing your community. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Because I'm sick and tired of heaps of people thinking something and not bloody saying it. You know, political correctness. Have you ever noticed that nobody's actually correct when they get into politics? They're all fracking wrong. And the only reason why they stay wrong and why people keep voting for them is because they don't get exposed enough. Okay? Every single person who's voted for the National Party, anybody who's voted for the Republicans or the Liberals or any other of these mainstream parties, I don't care whether you're in the Uber Kingdom or in the land of Oz with the Wicked Witch of the fracking Western Australia ruling you right now, the gull-like Gillard type woman. You see, you've all got to be very, very ashamed of yourself if you've voted for any of the winning parties, basically, because you're not winning. You're losing because every single time you vote for somebody, like, the political party will get you votes and they'll win, right? They'll win, but then the rest of your country gets sold out and then loses, okay? And yet, for some reason, you vote for them again and think that you're on the winning team. For goodness sake, wake up! It's not true! It's a lie! Understand. Understand. Please try to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of it being a lie, did you know that National and Labor were both funded by Todd Energy last year?
Nope.
You do now. That's why Labor isn't opposing fracking.
Ah. All suddenly becomes contaminated. I mean, clear. See, these people, they don't have any... They'll take money from anywhere, from anybody, at any point, won't they? They don't. They really don't care in the least about any kind of honesty or decency or doing the right thing, do they? It's just, you gave me money? Okay. That's the only thing that they honour, the people who give them lots of money.
Yeah. It's all about putting the value of a dollar over the value of a life any day.
All right. Now, how many of those dollars that came from those massive corporations are there specifically to make sure that the people get what they want? How many companies are being altruistic in their donations to governments, companies and governments are the same thing today. And how many people are actually donating with the intention of just making sure that political party gets into power and does the right thing and keeps its promises? I don't think any of them are. I think any of them are just wanting those parties to basically be owned by those companies so that they'll pass legislation that is beneficial to them and them alone. Frack the rest of us. Quite literally.
Oh, there'll definitely be a quid pro quo somewhere, you know. There'll definitely be some form of contract between them that if we give you this $1 million or however much money they give you, then you have to do this for us, you know. That, you know, if they're going to scratch your back, they have to scratch my back. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Evelyn's needing to skip off on us soon. You had two more statements to make, Evelyn?
Well, what Megan is saying is really interesting about Labour's financial conflict of interest, because David Shearer, their new leader, of course, is very much a New World Order kind of guy. He worked, for example, for the International Institute for Strategic Studies, which is very much a New World Order think tank. He has also worked for International Crisis Team, which is a Soros-owned interest group, and both of them have people like Brzezinski and other war criminals on their boards and as advisors. So,
So let me get this straight. The person who is the opposition to the New York Federal Reserve ex-employees, derivatives trading specialist, European bond market derivatives hosting scumbaggery, John Key, National Party, the opposition to him is a guy who works for the UN and half a dozen other globalist fracking think tanks?
Absolutely. John Key, who, by the way, together with Bill English, has generated $112 billion in derivatives off the books for New Zealand over the last 3 years.
And what's
$112 billion in derivatives.
What's our annual GDP, Evelyn?
$167 billion. So that is almost our entire GDP is in derivatives, and it's off the books. And this is from a New Zealand a professor in government accounting who says this is really worrying. And why is it off the books? And why does nobody know this? So we're talking about, yes, David Shearer, Mr. Nice Guy. He worked in he was very high profile United Nations worker in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Somalia, and yes, he's worked for several extremely controversial strategic think tanks, and you can bet your bottom dollar that he is very much, he may not think so, he may believe that he's Mr. Nice Guy, but if we're talking Agenda 21, he's the one who's going to implement that with gusto.
Yeah, and he absolutely will. I mean, and people who got the idea that there's somehow some difference between the two major opposition parties in your country, get real. All right, and I'm sure Rick will agree with me. Rick, can you explain, if there is one, a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats?
Well, the Democrats are more socially liberal, but that doesn't mean they'll do anything for the people that is contrary to the corporate interest. In that way, they are exactly like the Republican Party. They both depend on donations from corporations and rich individuals, and so they end up serving their interests first.
So who gives the gold?
A chance, they might do something to strengthen the social safety net, but those opportunities are getting fewer and fewer as the game of Monopoly winds down to its end.
Well, that's true, and it occurs to me that both Republicans and Democrats, National and Labor, it doesn't matter which political parties in your country, the big companies that fund those parties almost always, fund both sides, so that they literally cannot lose. And the same in New Zealand mayoral election, where the massive gambling company called Sky City here, who gave, what, $100K plus? To both of the major candidates that were running to be mayor of Auckland City, and this mayoral race is essentially just after the Labor Party goes, okay, well, we need a royal commission in order to force amalgamate 1.1 million people and 7 or 8 different local governments into a corporate holding company called Auckland Properties Limited, where we're going to put all $28 billion worth of the region's assets into, that are going to be run by private boards who are unelected, have no public meetings, and keep no records. Right? And then both the guys who are going to lead the city, you know, supposedly to freedom and better efficiency, both wind up getting funded by a major gambling company and just wind up putting in more bloody gambling machines. You know, this place is like Vegas now. And we've even got a giant Masonic penis of a structure in the middle of the city too, called the Sky Tower. It couldn't be even better. Oh my God. Oh my God. it just drives me nuts.
those pricks.
Well, the thing is, the game, it really is a game, and Evelyn's off, but she won't be giving us any more remarks, I don't think, but it really is a bloody game, isn't it, guys? And once you see the game being played, it actually is quite amusing. It'd be a lot more amusing if it wasn't so sociopathic.
I think it's absolutely horrific, and the children are the ones that end up being collateral damage.
Yeah, that's true, and I feel that the whole of society now is under this pin, and you can't deny it anymore. I'm really sick of people who are actually trying to make allowances, trying to make excuses, or in any way bending over. Okay, I feel that there is only one thing that everybody must do now, and that is stand up and to take a look at the information. Do your own investigation. Stop messing around, okay? Look, your beer on your Friday night will still be there, okay? But your country probably won't. If you're sitting there enjoying that beer and you're not actually doing anything to stop your country from being destroyed, you won't be able to enjoy that for too much longer. So, if you enjoy drinking...
It's like that saying, if you're neutral in times of oppression, then you're choosing the side of the oppressor.
Yeah, it is very true. And I always say that there's no point trying to convince the masses, okay? Because the masses won't be convinced. they'll never learn, and they'll never actually rise up. Not the masses, anyway. The masses throughout history have never, ever, under any circumstances, mattered. Even in India, where Gandhi mobilized some of the population, he mobilized a very small amount of people relative to the entire country, like 1-2% maybe, and he managed to clock the entire British government over the head. Gone. Boom. Doesn't even see. You don't need a large amount of people. You need a small, determined minority who believe, as we do, that you do, in fact, have to put the work in, and day after day are there exposing, pointing fingers, asking questions, and doing the business that the media should have been doing this whole time, okay? And I've said for a long time that the media is no longer relevant. It's just not, okay? If anybody thinks that, you're wrong. It's just that simple.
Well, don't that goes a lot for a lot of what Americans call the alternative media, too. They focus too much on the two parties. They focus too much on the president instead of Congress. You can't do anything about the president right now. You have to reform Congress. They focus on irrelevancies. They focus on the problems. I don't hear any of them talking about real solutions other than trying to fight back in Wisconsin, where the unions finally got off their ass and did something besides, negotiate for health care benefits. Other than that, I don't see this happening. But like I said, the worse the American people hurt, the quicker they will be to look for alternative solutions. In the meanwhile, the people that are just trying to hang on to what they got and defend it from what they think is a socialist agenda, they're going to be the last ones to wake up, but believe me, they will wake up.
Yeah. And I see it as this. If I wake up, okay, I'm one of the sheep who wakes up, and I'm no longer a sheep. I become a shepherd. Now, I can either use my shepherding abilities to get myself out of the pen so I don't get slaughtered or whatever, or I can do what I've been choosing to do this whole time. Lead the rest of those sheep away from the bloody slaughterhouse so they don't get bloody killed, okay? And lead them to some greener pastures so they can sit there, and in time they'll wake up, and at least they'll still be alive in order to be able to do it. But in the meantime, they don't have any idea what's going on. I'm the shepherd. I must save them, as a good shepherd should. And so many truthers get this kind of pinge on their back. You know, it's just like, I've woken up. I'm smarter. I'm better than the rest of these people. You're a sheep. You're a slave. You're scum. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and they're kind of like, it's they're playing mind games with themselves. Okay? If you've woken up, be happy. Don't be upset that other people haven't woken up. Get out there and fracking do something. I mean, come on. What do you got to lose?
That was exactly my experience when I decided to run for the Senate, and I became the candidate of the Green Party. Well, I was relatively recently awakened, and their big gripe about me was I'd been a Democrat all my life. Like, everybody wakes up at their own time, and we can help them wake up, but certainly we aren't going to get them to wake up by calling them sheeple.
Yeah, and I get really upset by that. You know, it's like, we're truthers for goodness sake. Regardless of whatever or not you think a truther is, it's about seeking the truth. Now, the truth is that people are brilliant. People are capable of intelligent thought. People are loving, caring, and generous. How many of them do you think are going to react positively to being called a sheep and a slave and a piece of crap? Not a single one of them. Okay? Because they're good, decent people, just like you. The fact that they don't know what's going on isn't really their fault. They didn't create a giant apparatus of News Corp and Rupert Murdoch in order to brainwash themselves into not knowing anything. They didn't do that. The New World Order did. Blame them. And help those people who are enslaved by them. Okay, if you see a whole bunch of slaves that are chained up and dragging a big block somewhere to build some kind of giant Masonic pillar, and they're being whipped all the time, and you're a free man, you don't run by those slaves and go, ah, you slave scum, I'm free and you're not. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You don't free anybody there like that.
You don't even free yourself that way because you can't stand against them by yourself.
Yeah. And you know what's going to be worse? Is those slaves, they'll get really ticked off that you're laughing at them. They'll kill their slave master, and then they'll come and find you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the most manacled and enslaved 2 hours in talk radio. We like to mix in a bit of cackles with the acid that we pour into people's eye sockets when we're doing the Chinese methods of 1,000 torches. But anyway, we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room if you wish. I hope you're all enjoying this because we are. Enslavement's real fun. We'll be right back.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with walls.
Welcome back, deadly gangster protection. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about deadly gangster protection, like at Bilderberg. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. I'm not 100% sure if people can hear me. We're having some problems with the feed at American Freedom Radio. The board's not been responding for the last 5 minutes. So if you're in the chat room and you can let me know whether or not you can hear us over the music, I'd much appreciate that. In the meantime, I'll just pretend like you can, and I'll go back to my very special guest. We have Megan Manuka here from New Zealand, and we also have Rick Stagenborg talking over the music. Can people actually hear me? Because this is just extremely unprofessional. Sorry.
I can hear you, Vinny.
Yeah. We all can. Okay, now, when we talk about the Bilderberg and all that kind of stuff like this comes to mind, and from the internet, Bilderberg members label protesters cockroaches. And it turns out that a couple of people, British reporters and what have you, that were talking to cops and hotel employees and stuff like that, mumbling under their breath that we don't support Bilderberg or anything like that. So you get to the point where you realize, hey, hold on a second, these people don't have full control. Okay, all the people that they're electing to protect them and whatever don't agree with them and would rather just be on the side with the protesters. In fact, next year, if they're in the area or probably like that and they're off duty, they probably will attend these protests. They probably will be talking to their friends in the squad rooms and all of that kind of stuff. And it reminds me of something that David Wilcox said in his presentation over the weekend. There was a book found in Rome. And it was a very strange, very old, ancient tome, and they had these strange beliefs about this particular book. And an old lady was selling it on the side of the road as the Roman emperor was passing, and she was selling it for 9 bags of gold. 9 bags of gold, and the priest beside the Roman emperor, allegedly, or at least I think this is a story he was telling. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but it's still an interesting story. Said, "Buy that bloody book. 9 bags of gold is a small price to pay for that book. Get it, get it, get it, get it." So he did, after much argument and what have you. He brought it back to the temples and started reading it. Turns out that this book is the history and the future and every event in it where people were going to die or have major significant events throughout history is all in this book. Okay, and the first thing that they read that was the most near thing to happening was that Rome was going to have a massive grain shortage and that heaps of people would die. So in a massive effort to protect the book, to protect their grain, and to protect, of course, their dominance over the European region, the Roman government decided it would be a brilliant idea to confiscate as much grain as they possibly could from all over the empire and store it in a giant building that was all secured up and that kind of stuff, and to guard it 24 hours a day. Do not, under any circumstances, let any of that grain out of your sight, because if that grain goes out of your sight, then boom, we're all going to starve to death. It's going to be terrible. So they made this huge effort to avoid this prophecy coming true. But that building that they had all the grain in wasn't watertight, and it all went moldy, and they all started starving. There are many, many prophecies that are about to come true, according to many people. And what happens is, with these prophecies, and I think this is probably the lesson of the book, is that if you try to change your future something will happen in your efforts to change the future that will simply make it happen, okay? And there are many prophecies now that say that human beings are going to wake up, that we're going to evolve, that we're going to come into a golden age, that we're going to be free, that we're going to be casting off the new world order and oppression that has been existing for thousands upon thousands of years, or goodness knows what, you know, allegedly. And in an effort to stop the human wake up, in an effort to oppress all of our people, to enslave all of our nations with all this legislation, to destroy our dollars, to destroy our food and everything like that, they are provoking the very prophecy that they are seeking to quell. And there is no possibility that they can win. Or at least that's what I took out of the story. I could be wrong, because it seems in my life, every time I try to make a huge effort to avoid doing something or whatever, it'll happen to me anyway. And so I was thinking to myself, you know what? I could actually make a choice about accepting it first, rather than making a choice about attempting to deny and avoid the challenges that I am to face in my life. I think we should all start thinking that way a little bit more nowadays, because it's, well, basically, we're in the most important part of history where your decisions today will affect everybody tomorrow. This is what I'm thinking anyway. I could be wrong. And Rick and Megan are my guests, and I guess we kind of have times for summing up a few final minutes of commentary for each of you. I mean, who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Megan.
Oh, Megan's actually bumped out of the conversation for a bit. She's got somebody visiting her Koha shed, where she has lots of free. Clothes and knickknacks and what have you for people that don't have too much money but need something to wear. So she's just out in her shed doing that at the moment. She'll be back in a minute. So I guess it's okay. I guess it's your turn, Rick.
Well, all right, then. Boy, you just brought up so many great things that I think people need some time to digest and think about and connect the dots. I think the most important thing you brought up is that we do have reason for hope, and I'm kind of with you. I think that. It's destined that we will do this, that we are going to win this, because really there's only two possible outcomes. We will all be enslaved in a fascist new world order, or we will free ourselves together by working across international borders and putting aside the differences and recognizing that it's our commonalities that are most important. So I do want to encourage people to go to my website again, soldiersforpeaceinternational.org. I write about these themes a lot. I don't blog frequently, but I try to make them quality blogs. And so I encourage people to check out some of the essays, really, that my blogs are. For instance, We Are All Greeks Now was a recent one, talking about how we're all tied together economically and we need to work together to ensure that we have a just economic and social system. Otherwise, the alternative is unthinkable. But I do think it's important to have hope. We can win. I think we will win. And here's something, a point I wanted to make for a long time, is that as people begin to wake up, as you said, Benny, it becomes an exponential process, because if you can wake up three other people at some point, it becomes a chain reaction like a nuclear bomb. And we are the neutrons, and we are blasting people's perceptions and causing them to recombine in new ways. And when all of us, or enough of us, can visualize the world that we can create together, then we will create it together. So these concepts are all written about, not just on my blog, but I wrote a book of essays called Stop the Madness, The Diary of a Soldier for Peace and the War to Take Back America. And that is a book of essays I wrote online, and it's available to read just by going to the website. And I encourage people to do that. It's hard to sum all this up because we're covering a lot of ground here. But as I said in one of those essays, all politics is international. What you feel right now, what's affecting you, as a result of your government oppression, as a result of the collapse of the integrated worldwide economy, all the things that you're feeling are all related to the same problem, and that is corporate control of the U.S. and other major governments. I do think the U.S. is this central problem. We have the largest military. We're starting wars all over the world for corporate empire. And, yeah, every other country gets a cut, everyone that's with us, that is. But in the end, it's going to blow back on all of us if we don't fight for liberty and justice for everyone on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, stop arguing with each other and just realize the simple, obvious truth. And I think I'll ask you this question, Rick, because you'll probably understand where I'm coming from. Do you feel at any point that it's necessary for you or anybody else to get exterminated by a ruthless criminal government?
Not necessary, no.
No. And so here's the point of that. Do you think you or I or anybody else will ever have any real arguments then based on that? No. I mean, raise your hands, ladies and gentlemen, if you feel like being exterminated tomorrow or today or any other. No, we don't. We're all on that same boat or that cattle car, so to speak. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to be silent? Are you going to be like on Sophie's Choice where you don't say anything and you lose both your kids? Or are you going to be like the resistance fighters, those Jews who went into the bush and started starving and regardless, they managed to fight even with zero resources, zero encouragement and anything, okay? The human spirit cannot be killed. You can kill a man, but his spirit will live on. So will mine, so will yours, Rick, and so will yours, ladies and gentlemen. So any of these filth who think that they dominate you, who think that they control your life, remind them how powerful a human being is. Stand up, fight back, and beat them at their own game. Thanks, Rick, for your contributions to the show today. Thanks, Megan, and thanks, Evelyn Gilbert, as well. I'm not sure if Megan's still there, but it's too late anyway.
Thanks for having me on, Vince.
Yeah, man. And soldiersforpeaceinternational.org is Rick Stagenborg's website there. He's also a brewer, so you can drink some Stagenborg lager next year when it's released under the brand label. You'll probably have to make your own beer, Rick, because, New World Order's probably not going to let us do it. All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of random today. And we'll be back tomorrow with more randomness, fun, and exposing scumbaggery. And we'll see you again sometime.